Okay, are we ready? I'm told that you've made a unanimous decision. We won't have to meet after 4 o'clock today. Is that... Yeah, that's what someone told me. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Who's not having fun? I'm having a lot of fun. I know you are, too. Okay, well, we'll do a quick report around just to kind of get some flavor of, so you can hear what other groups are thinking in terms of things that might be on or not on. Clearly, we're not making decisions. We're just trying to get some kind of flavor and maybe sniff the wind a little bit. And if there's anything that kind of comes out of this in a kind of a pretty broad-based consensus, we can maybe try and signal that. I gather there are a couple of versions of the fourth page of the, or the fourth section of this draft report. Nothing's been written on the fourth section. Those were just sort of templates as to the kinds of things it might look like, and whatever the words were there, they weren't significant. What we're really trying to do is kind of say, we want to say something about the values, we want to say something about some kind of systems, and I guess one version of them had some systems listed, but they were just there to kind of fill up the space. So we'll you know, the night elves are going to try and wrestle with whatever you've produced tonight for that. And with the other useful suggestions that Margaret and Brad and so on have made to the earlier parts. Okay, well, let's do a quick whip around, and then we can have some conversation. I gather Douglas is going to speak briefly from the group that Cameron was facilitating.
Thank you, Ken. I'm doing this presentation because we did a coin toss between Harley and I, and I called heads I win, tails you lose, lands on the side, we flip again. It turns out heads, so I'm here speaking for you. I'd like to start off by making sure you understand that when we talk about these, we're not ranking them in any way, in any particular order, simply just listing these for the sake of wanting to learn more. The reasons behind why we've chosen these, whether they're desirable or not, is based on these morning values that we've already discussed. So we will not give reasons for each particular one. The systems that seemed less desirable for BC that we came up with was a pure SMP, single member plurality system. Also a PR closed or any mixed system that goes along with it. A pure majoritarian system. The multi-member plurality system as used in Japan, that one's then followed by this next one, which was listed, none of the above. If you have questions about that, I will direct that toward Harley. And I'm not joking, I'm serious about that. He was quite insistent that we put that on. And the other one that was considered less desirable was the proportional open system. And it also appeared, surprisingly enough, on both lists. It appeared also on the list of ones we want to consider for further consideration, the proportional open system, but we're also looking at ones to be considered are proportional open system with regional lists, as well as the single transferable vote system, single transferable vote system in a mixed system, a mixed member proportional system. And we're also considering the idea of what the Jenkins report came up with the alternative vote plus system. The one that we want to finish off with that we want to be considered is any possible system that maybe we have possibly overlooked. I'm highly doubtful, Ken, that we have. But we put it down as any other system that is brought to the Citizens' Assembly by the members of the public, the BC citizens, systems that they may have come up with, thought about, that we simply somehow may have overlooked. And that is our list.
Thank you. Thanks, Douglas. Tom, who was in the group that Michelle facilitated. Tom.
All right. We had a very good discussion and came up with a lot of ideas for systems that we seemed less desirable for BC. One was the mixed member majoritarian system. We decided it lacked proportionality, and there's a system of fake proportionality in it. We also decided that single member plurality was as a weakness, I mean, just because of the weaknesses that we had decided on 2 weeks ago. We also didn't like the majoritarian systems because they were not proportional, and you get the least disliked person rather than most liked. Not really different from single-member plurality, some sense of false sense of consensus, and it supports the two-party system. We also didn't really find the close proportional system to be one for consideration because there's too much party control. Choice is forced between parties, and you vote for a party, not for a candidate. And then I tried to bring up single non-transferable vote as something that we should consider, but obviously I'm a very bad argumentative person, so we decided to put it on the less desirable side, and just for the reason that it doesn't give proportionality. And for the systems that we thought that we should consider, one was the PR open list, just because it increases fairness, encourages participation. There's more interest representative, it's more inclusive, and there's a greater proportionality. We also like single transferable vote because it gives voters opportunity to vote for individual candidates. It weakens party control, increases proportionality, increases opportunities for smaller parties and independents. We also actually liked mixed member plurality systems. They were very proportional. They had constituency representation. They enabled accountability in terms of individual representation. And we also came up with a system called the combined system, which is just another word for a mixed system where there's a multi-member urban ridings and then single-member rural. And that's just to allow for single-member representation in rural areas.
Great. Thanks, Tom. Sounds like you did a lot of work in that group. Terry, you're going to report for your group?
Yes, Terry. Oh, sorry.
You said Cherie?
Yes, I did. I think so.
Okay. So our group, just to start off, had a lot of debate about even doing the exercise. And after a lot of heated discussion and a lot of stress on Russell, our facilitator, we decided that in order to complete the exercise, that the group wanted to change the statement in the preliminary draft, section 4, subsection 2. They want to change the statement from, we would like to change from recognizing the values of these features, the assembly suggests this would limit our interest. They'd like to change would to may in that section.
We haven't written it, but that's a good point.
Okay.
Fair enough.
And then after that we changed the section to may, we were able to do the exercise. And we decided that the less desirable systems would be PR closed list, resulting with no control over who is actually elected, no local representation, and too much party control. We also decided that province-wide open list, the ballot would be too complicated with no local representation, and it would be too proportional based on what we felt our values were. And the multi-member plurality block voting system, because it's even less proportional than our system now. And for the systems we would like to hear more about, we have the mixed member plurality, because we like the local representative and proportionality. We like more voter choice and more minority impact or input. And then we have the STV-AV combination, more options for voting and a balance of local, urban, rural concerns. And then we have STV and PR open list with small district magnitudes, local representative proportionality, less party dominance, and better turnouts. And that's it.
Great, thanks. Norm is going to report for the group that Kara was facilitating. Where are you, Norm? There he is. Okay.
Our group concentrated on ones that we thought were for consideration, not the less desirable ones. and we all came up with the mixed system, MMP, and STV. And some members of the group also felt PR list systems, open and closed, deserved further consideration.
Great. Thanks, Norm. Wolf.
Don't think that we didn't go through all the stuff you had there before, but we condensed our findings. And the less desirable are the majority systems, lack of proportionality, no significant change to the type of government we have now. And the list system, one province-wide closed list system, does not give sufficient local representation. And the word further considerations, mixed systems possible to tailor to specific needs of urban and rural area voters, possible to have some proportionality, some local representation. STV, possible to have more proportionality with some less direct local presentation.
Thank you, Wolf. Next, I have Derek.
And systems that seem less desirable, we chose majority, all types, quite quickly. Single non-transferable vote specifically. Closed lists of all types, although I do personally have a good argument for it if anyone wants to hear later. MMM, mixed member majoritarian, specifically the one used in Japan. We didn't like the concept of guaranteed representative seats for constituencies, as in social constituencies rather than geographic. And we didn't like an open list proportional representation system with a district magnitude of 79. So we wouldn't like to see the entire province elected off of an open list. On further consideration, we picked mixed systems, excluding mixed member majoritarian, which had already excluded. Single transferable vote, but probably not on its own. And this is more for further consideration rather than one that we really liked. We simply wanted to talk about it more and really hash it out. We were curious, very curious, excited. And open list PR, but only multi-member districts in a single tier. We're quite specific about that.
Thank you, Derek. CJ, where art thou? Okay.
To begin, I'd have to say that as a group, we definitely wrestled with some of the questions, and as a result, each of the systems that we discussed, some of them were set aside as families and dealt with as families, understanding that within that family there were several permutations that we could adjust and tweak to meet the values that we discussed earlier in the day. So in general, then, the ones that seem to be in our minds, meeting the needs of British Columbians less well, were we to use them, would be closed list PR, mostly because of the limited voter choice and the fact that the party would be selecting the members that would sit. Secondary is the majoritarian system as a family, mostly because of the limited proportionality, even though there are some options for proportionality. That's a tough word this time of day. Proportionality within that family of systems. Also, many votes within those systems do not directly count towards electing a candidate. On the other side of the coin, then, the systems that seemed worth further consideration to us, because proportionality was valued very highly in our particular group, was first but not least, STV. Better vote-to-seat translation. The STV system is based on candidacy, the candidate himself or herself, not necessarily the party. It's also easier for independents to gain a seat and thereby represent their constituents. The next family of systems that got a significant amount of support in our group was the mixed systems. And this is probably where we spent a good portion of our time, because mixed opens a big set of options. And those were banged around quite well. And so as a result, mixed as a system got into something that we want to consider more, simply because of the many options, which is one of its repeated strengths. That's something that can be changed depending on how the assembly comes together. Finally, PR open list. There's proportionality. There's choice for voters. It's fairly simple. And there's many options. There's many options for the parties as well on how they want to decide to run their particular campaign. And so that concludes that portion. Thanks.
Thanks, EJ. Jerry is going to report for the group that was in the center here.
Our facilitator was Terry, and the systems that we found less desirable for BC were the majority systems and the mixed member majoritarian, because we didn't think they went far enough or they were very much different than what we have now. And we had concerns around closed lists. The systems that seem worth further considerations were the geographically mixed systems to address the urban and the rural concerns, like the mixed member proportional and the STV-AV, a single transferable vote / alternative vote, because both were very proportional. And they increase proportions, and they increase our choices. Single transferable vote was second, and because we felt the votes were more in the hands of the voters, there is more choice, and it increases proportionality. And finally, the open list systems, for instance, like Finland's. Because they're more proportional than single transferable vote, simpler systems than single transferable vote, and more choice.
Thanks, Jerry. Gene is going to report for the group Mark facilitated.
Hi, we're a Mark's group, and we didn't go into the bowels of the details that several of the other groups obviously have. We kept it at a fairly high level. We had a pretty compatible discussion. So the systems we found that seemed less desirable for BC were closed-list PR systems. We, as a group, we felt strongly that political party control inhibited good representation. The other one we didn't think was appropriate was pure majoritarian systems. There's just no proportionality, and I think Dr. Farrell or Dr. Cardi said that it was least disliked candidates get elected. The system that seemed worth further consideration by the Assembly, we felt strongly, was a single transferable vote because it provides a greater accountability to the voter and not to the party, and besides creates more proportionality in our current system. We were open to looking further at open list PR systems because it increases proportionality. And then the mixed systems, we think, should be looked into further because it recognizes, it could recognize the urban-rural problem we have in the province. So we like the STV and the SMP for the rural area, or a PR-SMP as they did in New Zealand. So that's how we concluded. Thank you.
Thank you, Gene. Shawnee from Greg's facilitated group.
Just to start off, we understood why the list was just local representation and proportionality, and that they were features of a system that we could change. But we felt that a number of people in the group felt that in consideration of the next 2 points, that it would be helpful to distinguish between features and values. That there also were a number of values that we've all discussed as groups that were informing the decision, and when we gave our reasons for liking particular systems, they weren't necessarily explained just by local representation and proportionality. Oh, sorry. So within that, the systems that seemed less desirable were the proportional representation closed list, although there was some discussion that it could potentially increase women and minority representation. That would be party dependent, and and that because that leads towards the problem we had with the system, which is that it's more party run and no free choice, and that would be not consistent with our other values. So we felt that was less desirable. And also majority systems, which we felt maintained the what we earlier in the day come up with as the myth of local representation, which wasn't necessarily in practice, but it was without any increase in proportionality. The systems that seemed worth further consideration were STV, but with no above-the-line voting. We felt that would work well with the current size of legislature. It would be a compromise between proportional rep and local rep, and that there was choices of candidates from within the parties and the possibility for independence. PR with an open list, with a threshold. We liked that it gave small parties opportunities, give a choice and diversity of candidates from within a party, and was proportional, although we weren't looking at strictly proportional, not a DM of 79, looking at some regionality. And the mixed systems, which we didn't get down to breaking down the MMP and MMM, but we were talking about other versions of mixes of different systems, and we liked that they could be tailored geographically to BC's needs, but there was also a significant concern that given the current size of the legislature, it might end up pleasing nobody, being neither proportional nor local, and just a bizarre hybrid.
Thanks. Clara is going to report for the basement crowd.
For Amanda's group, yeah. We created a scale to measure the different systems on the basis of proportional representation and local representation. So the systems that seemed less desirable for BC was the closed list system, because there's too much party control and no voter choice. The second one we chose was majoritarian, which promotes two-party systems, is not proportional, and more adversarial in politics. The systems that we thought that were worth considering further was STV, because it has both concepts of PR and LR. MMP, because it has a balance of PR and LR. Mixed urban and rural. Local representation for rural and proportional representation for urban. Our group came up with a question that we want to submit. Why are emerging countries choosing MMM, like in the former communist countries of Russia and the satellites that they had at the time? Why are they going to MMM?
Okay, and the last group is Craig.
I have a smile on my face. Craig, you sure you don't want to answer this one? Well, where to begin? We started off actually following the rules, and we started discussing closed list PR system, and came to the conclusion that we couldn't even decide on that. So one thing led to another, and we did come to a consensus, and the consensus was all of the above. We basically decided that we didn't think it was appropriate to even give a hint of ruling out any possible solutions, that we're still early on in the education phase. We still have a lot of public input that we want to receive, and likely we're going to be learning up until November or whenever our decision is made. So that being said, we have basically requested that Section 4 be eliminated from the draft. So all of the above and none of the above.
Good. Well, I give you an indication. I've been sort of making a running count here, and my count is that 9 or 10 of the groups say that majoritarian systems are really a pretty limited interest, and almost the same number say that closed PR systems are that way. And there's a scattering of views otherwise. So, but those two seem to emerge pretty regularly. On the other side of the equation, PR open lists, mixed systems, including mixed member proportional systems, and STV come up in almost all the systems that people are interested in pursuing. So that's just a kind of rough count of what we heard. So I guess the floor is open. Where do we go from here?
Well, Clara first, maybe.
Clara? Oh, you want,
do
to
you want me to repeat the question?
Oh, no, I got the question.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of the answer. Well, let's think about mixed member majority systems. They're mixed systems in which some proportion are elected from single member districts and some proportion are elected by a proportional formula. That's just the same as mixed member proportional. So they look kind of the same. The difference is that in mixed member proportional, the total number of seats that a party gets is a proportion of the votes they get overall. In mixed member majoritarian systems, rather than kind of making that kind of calculation, they say you get all the seats you win on the constituency side, and then you get whatever share on the majority side. So if you got 40% of the vote on the majority side, you get 40% of those seats. And if you've won all the seats on the constituency side, then you get all of those. And let's say there was half and half, so that would have given you 90% of all the seats. So part of the system is proportional, and part of them is not proportional at all. The whole system isn't. So why would people be interested in that kind of system? One has to think that the reasons are probably something like it's much more likely to give you a majority government. It's likely to give, in fact, a considerable bonus to the largest parties. They're going to do very well on the single-member districts, and they're going to get more than their share on the proportional districts. You're going to add them together, not balance them off, but add them together, so they're going to get a majority, but they're going to be able to say, but there is a proportional part. And the virtue of that proportional part is that small parties are going to get some look in. If we had a total proportional, a total single-member district, we'd have a system like BC, and the small parties get nothing. Here, they're not going to get their full share, but they're going to get something. So we're going to give them something, but we're going to keep basically what amounts to a system that's likely to give us majorities. And I think basically that's what's happened in Eastern Europe, is they've struggled to find systems that will work for them. They're very anxious that they don't have 23 parties, and they're very anxious to try and get stable systems working. But they also have a kind of sense that they've got to let these other voices be heard as these systems kind of evolve and only slowly begin to mature. So they've kind of opted for this route. There really are only three or four mixed-member proportional systems nationally working, and they tend to be, well, the two dominant ones, of course, are in Germany and New Zealand, well-established democracies, and there's also used in Venezuela and one of the other South American countries. I can't remember which one, Bolivia, I think. The mixed-member proportional are being used pretty widely in these Eastern European countries, and I think it's because they want to say that there's some proportional element. They want to let small parties have some look in, but not very much. They don't want an overall proportional system because they fear that might lead to the collapse of democracies that aren't very well institutionalized. So I think that's basically what's going on in those places. And so you're quite right that mixed member majoritarian systems aren't proportional. They have a proportional bit. That bit might be big, it might be small, but it's a bit. It's not, the system isn't in any way proportional.
The next is Don.
Thank you. Coming back to what Greg commented on, I've felt and expressed in the last couple of sessions the fact that I was not comfortable with the way we were directing ourselves from the point of view of putting offerings out there, if you will. I consider this Section 4 to be one of those. And I also feel that it should be removed. It's not something, we're not out there to sell something. We're out there to listen and to bring back what they have to say. If we go out there with the attitude that we recommend this or we don't recommend that or we favor this or we don't favor that, then somebody somewhere is going to leap out and make a big deal out of it. It also doesn't give us the impartiality that I think we should have. Thank you.
Linnell?
I have to say, sitting in the center circle today, this is the first time I've spoken in front of the whole group now, so I actually made me more comfortable with the microphone. My question is about mixed member proportional. Can you have an open list?
Sure. You can organize the proportional part of it as you like. If you wanted that to be an open list, a province-wide open list, or a regional open or closed list, you could do that.
I wanted to concur with what a few people have said. I think we're putting the horse or the cart before the horse. I don't think that we can give people in the public hearings a feeling that what they have to say is truly going to be heard if we go as part of our interim report and basically indicate any leanings. I think it's fair enough. We're in a learning stage right now, and at the end of our learning stage, and I don't quite understand why we can't take the first sentence of sentence four, as section four, and simply cut it off to basically say we have looked at all of the systems, but making a statement to the people of British Columbia to say we've narrowed it down and further. I mean, I understand that this was an idea, but we were also asked in our groups to follow the exercise through. And I didn't, I feel really strongly that we're going to be giving the people of BC the wrong idea. And even, I mean, there are a number of people of BC sitting here watching us right now. And if I had been asked, after reading this carefully, if I had been asked the question of do I feel that I'm being led down a garden path, I do by this. And it doesn't, I have told a number of people about the opportunity that they're going to have with public hearings. I've told a number of people that we are not coming to any conclusion whatsoever.
Leanne?
I don't believe that what we're discussing here today is set in stone, and I also feel quite confident in the knowledge that I've gained since I've started coming here. And I think that we have to progress, we have to move forward, and it has to start sometime. So I feel very confident in what we're doing here today. Thank you.
Edith.
I think I'm agreeing with Leanne, but I'm not sure. I feel that we're really not trying to eliminate anything. And we would like the people in the hearings to present any views that they have whatsoever. I don't think our purpose of doing this is that we only want people to come to the hearing and discuss what we felt should be eliminated and not eliminated. But I feel that the people of BC do deserve to have an idea of the way that we are thinking. And the people that have been coming and listening to these, it is clear that we actually do have some ideas. And to pretend that we don't, as a group, have some ideas, I think is unfair to the people of the province. It also gives them the idea, the opportunity, that if they see which way, in broad sense, we're leaning, then it gives them the opportunity, if they don't agree with that, to present at the public hearings offerings that will try to convince us of other ways. And I'm not saying that we should come up with a system, that these are the two systems that we want to go with, choose now. But I think that we have to be honest with the people. And I don't know about everybody else, but every week, what I feel changes. And so I'm expecting that no matter what my feelings are now, at the end of the public hearings, I'll have a different point of view. But I do think that we owe them the opportunity to see what has happened and that their money has not been wasted. We have not spent 6 weeks learning and are unable to come up with a simple narrowing of a couple of systems that we personally don't feel are important. And not eliminate anything. Nothing we do is going to strictly eliminate anything, but I think we have to show that we are actually moving somewhere and are going to be able to come up with some decision at the end of all this. We can't be learning up until November the 15th. We have to follow our mandate and show that we are actually capable of making some sort of decisions at some point.
Tom? Tom?
Yeah, I agree with Edith. I actually think it's rather vital that we actually do this because as what we just did, it shows that we do have leanings. I mean, we're human and we learned about these systems and we're obviously going to have feelings about this. I don't see this as eliminating something. I see that as saying, okay, we're leaning against this. And so, and that would promote people who are supporting of the things would to come out and try to change our minds. And I mean, I think all of us have an open mind. I don't think any of us have eliminated anything. But if we don't tell our leanings, we're seeming like we're not open. We're just going out there and just sitting there with our arms crossed and listening to them. And I mean, if we say, okay, this is what we're leaning against, then people feel they have an obligation to come out and maybe try to change our mind. And if we hadn't said that, they might not come out and give their presentations.
Cherie?
Hi. I hope I didn't fail my group the first time with all the laughter that I received in response. I agree with everybody, like Leanne and Tom, that this is something that we have to do. And I think what my group was asking in a more serious sense is that perhaps we can make it sound less biased to make more people feel more comfortable for the people that don't feel comfortable with this in the assembly so far. But I still think that we need to complete the exercise.
Michelle?
I think our report should be highlighting what values we think are emerging as the strongest rather than the systems. And for example, one thing that I've found quite interesting is in the first weekend or two, the issue of a stable government seemed to come up quite regularly. I haven't heard anything about that this weekend. It's been values of a local rep, representative government, choice for voters, and our votes counting more, that we should be outlining which values are really coming forth as the strongest, and if we're limiting anything, which values might be of less interest now that we've looked at things. And I don't think we're as worried about a coalition government, for example. Like, that doesn't seem to be emerging as a huge concern anymore when balanced with some of these other values. So I think that's what our report should be putting forward.
Just to let you know, we've got about 10 names on the list. Ray?
Yes, thank you. I belong to a group called the OBA, which is the Overwhelmed by Acronyms group. And I happened also to sit in the group which Craig ably represented, which consists of DAs and DKs. The DKs are the don't knows. And you can guess what the DAs are, which are the devil's advocates. And because of the DKs and the DAs negotiating at this meeting, we came to a sort of conclusion. It was very difficult for us to actually reject anything at this moment, and it was more intelligent, in fact, to keep it open. We felt, on the basis of how many of us also noted that among our little group, there were those that were very well informed, and if we weren't careful, would take us into a direction of certainty, which most of us were uncertain about. And we felt that would be extremely dangerous to allow that to happen. And so I think it was wonderful that we came to this very happy consensus at the end of the meeting that we should be aware of the whole group and not just drive along with the most capable, perhaps, and the most able, perhaps, because they were there for sure. And so I also am one of the incapable, because I am OBA and remain that way for some time. But nevertheless, I do understand the position that many people are taking, but don't believe it's necessary for us to go that far. The three pages that have been written are very good, very informative, very well written, and I think exhibit a great deal of achievement on the part of this group already, without us then perhaps going ahead and coming to conclusions that I hope you're all very certain about when you make them, because they do tend then to commit us to a position. People say it doesn't commit us. If it doesn't commit us, don't let us get into that trap. So I'm with Craig and those people. Thank you.
Margaret.
Okay, I agree with Edith that we've spent quite a bit of time working through this process, and we actually have come to some consensus. And I think to be ingenuous and to pretend that we haven't because we want to appear to have open minds is kind of dishonest, and I don't want to do that. So I think we have to, in fact, reflect what we actually have come to think about, but I think there are ways to do it that are much more open to keeping the discourse with the people open. And I would suggest, for instance, we could have the section on the assembly has identified question, or part one there, on section four, that the assembly has identified the following features that it thinks are desirable to be used in any system. They include local representation, proportionality, voter choice, whatever we say. And then instead of just leaving it there, say, are these the values that you feel are paramount, and could you add to them? And for the next question, instead of saying that just that it would limit our interest, we could say, given the values we felt were important, we felt that some of the possible systems are less responsive to those values. For instance, if proportionality is important, then a single-member majoritarian system seems not to respond to that interest. Given the values that you feel are crucial, which systems would you think should be considered further? So that both gives a sense of what our evaluation is and also keeps the discourse open. And I think that's probably a better way to frame it than to list it just as it is here. And it responds, I think, to both the interests.
Okay, thank you. Derek.
Just wanted to add my voice to a chorus here. But I don't feel there's any elimination of choices here. It's only logical preferences that correspond with values that we've spent 5 weeks developing. I think Edith put it really well, that we've done this process, we've gone through here. And I personally think it's a dodging responsibility on some level to pretend we don't have some kind of a clue as to where we're leaning right now. What have we spent the last 5 weekends doing in that case?
Thank you. Jerry?
I'm just going to further discussion as well, and I think at the end of this process that we will be giving the public choice in terms of the referendum question and whether to vote yes or to vote no to that. If the vote is no or yes, then the voters will have made their choice, and that will be the end of the discussion, as far as I'm aware, at least at this time. So at this preliminary stage, by giving people an opportunity to see some of the ways that we're thinking, then this is almost the first cut for them to express some level of opinion at the public hearings as to whether or not the way that we're thinking is consistent with perhaps other parts of the province. So that's sort of what I'm thinking.
Thank you. Chuck?
Well, it seems to me that it's been six weekends since we started this process. And 6 weekends ago, how much did we actually know about electoral systems? Now, we're talking about going out for public debate, and we're not going to give them anything to debate unless we, in this preliminary statement, tell them what we want them to debate. So I think the population or the public in general need to prepare for these public meetings, and they're not going to be able to prepare unless we give them something to prepare for. And I'm with Edith and with Margaret that that's what we should do. We should actually give them something to prepare for. As it is, we don't have anything for them to debate, so let's give it to them.
Shoni.
I agree with what Chuck just said, and I had been trying to, but I can see the view of the other side, and so I'd been trying to work out some wording that would make it more open, and I think what Margaret came up with is excellent and would address a lot of the concerns and would encourage everyone to consider Margaret's additional wording.
Harley.
I can't help but think that the horse is out of the barn here. But I have a few things, too. And the first section talks about the values. And we've talked all day here about proportionality and local representation. And in a mediator-type thought here is we should be adding to that list. I know for me, those two choices are 2 and 3. Voter choice is number one for me as a value that I think we have to bring to the public. I do agree with Edith and with Chuck that, you know, we're here to make some decisions, and to narrow the view down a little bit, it helps the public, I think. They need to look at where we are, and to deny where we are is a bit dishonest. We need to move forward. We've been there. It's 6 weeks.
Amanda?
Hi, I was just going to say, oh, my God, I agree with Harley.
That will be part of the record.
I was thinking that if we had some sort of a compromise where we don't actually say what we've eliminated, but to say in our thing what we do recommend, and that way we're not showing that we've got a closed mind. We're just saying what we might like.
Thank you. Tia?
Me, Taya?
Taya, yes.
I'm also part of Craig's group and Ray's group, and I hear what everybody's saying, and I completely agree with both sides, except for the fact I think what Margaret actually suggested was the best route, because I think we're getting into a decision where we're trying to make a statement that's too premature. I haven't, and I know we all haven't forgotten who we're here for, and I want to hear everyone's opinion. I talk to everybody in the ferry line, on the ferry, whoever I can will give me their ear, I'm talking to. So for me to sit there and say, well, you know, we're kind of leaning this way, I don't want to influence anybody. I want to know what people are thinking. I want to hear their opinions. And then maybe we can go back later and say.
Thank you, Taya. David.
I'm kind of wondering what we're scared of, because we seem to have a fairly strong consensus about what we liked and what we didn't like. That's on the public record, in case anybody doesn't realize it, because this is public. So we've already put it on the public record. I think we need to make a statement. We should. I think there's an opportunity to add something to the around the values that Michelle has mentioned. We have only focused on two, and I think there are others that we could be expand on. That might help. And I also think we want to make sure that any statement that we make, we couch it in terms that says, you know, we are concerned about some things and would like to know more, and so we don't cut off debate. But I think it's very right and proper for us to tell our citizens, fellow citizens, where we stand.
Thank you. RB.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also like to contribute to this ongoing debate, but before that, on page 3 of the document, rather page 4, I don't know if it's the same page, the last item under strengths of the current system, we have simplicity, familiarity, and transparent counting. In that particular paragraph, I'm referring to the last sentence. Maintaining this system would avoid the disruption to the organization and activity of the political parties and to the operation of the legislative assembly that a change would necessarily entail. I personally feel this itself is not a strength of any existing system, and it should not be there, that particular sentence. And in the first place, we are not in an exercise of any kind of disruption. This exercise is for construction or reconstruction or improvement of the electoral system here. So I think those words also don't go with my language. So, as you know, the members have vividly shown their preparedness to change or their courage to change. So, if necessary, of course. And therefore, this particular sentence contradicts with the mandate given to this assembly, well explained in page 2. The mandate requires that they either endorse the current system or propose a specific alternative. Therefore, I suggest that we remove that sentence. Now I want to go to the debate that is going on about page 5. I think there were arguments for on both sides, so I'm not going to speak a lot, but I want to stress the point that, first of all, this assembly is not Ken R.B. Sherry Assembly. This assembly is Citizens' Assembly. What we are doing here, we are doing that on behalf of the citizens of British Columbia. So this process, now the public hearing is the checkpoint that we are doing something on behalf of all the British Columbians, and in the fall, we are going to sit here again to conclude our exercise and to come up with a recommendation on behalf of the citizens. So now this checkpoint is to let everyone know, hey, this is what we are doing on your behalf. And then what do you think? So I think for any dialogue, for any discussion of this nature, you all agree with me, my fellow members, that there must be some terms of reference or some context. This is what we are going to discuss. And this is something we are going to help the people who are going to take part in the discussion. This I see as a very, very positive thing. And after all, we are in an open and transparent process. Are we not? So if it is so, why do we pretend that we have not come to any ideas? Of course, if by the time of the public hearings, we have not come to a conclusive idea. We have not concluded our ideas. But we have certainly done all these studies, which the other British Columbians have not the advantage of going through. So certainly we don't want them to start from scratch and start talking about issues that we have investigated in length and then decided that that's not the way to go.
Thank you, RB. Okay.
Thank you very much.
I've got 7 speakers. We will go for the 7. We are beyond our time, but this is a very important discussion, so we'll go to 7 speakers. I would suggest we keep it reasonably short. It doesn't mean that we won't have someone come in that wants to speak to a point very emotionally or something right on target, but we'll try and keep it to the 7. So we have Jack and then Rob.
Thanks. This morning I raised a question about whether we could go as far as we did today, and I think we've answered the question because we did do it. The second element was whether we should go as far as we did today, and I think Carly put it well, saying the horse is out of the barn. I mean, that's a moot question. We have done it, so I don't think we can in any way pretend that we haven't. That having been said, I think the report would be of more use to the people it is intended to reach and to people who may be coming to give us their views, if there were a more explicit section built in. I'm going to try and make a very specific suggestion here that precedes the analysis of the strengths and weaknesses of the current system and basically sets out a set of criteria that I think all of us applied more or less in coming to those conclusions. And they are things like the expansion of voter choice, which I think some have mentioned, a better matching between the exercise of that choice and the representation in the legislature, which is another way of saying proportionality. The link between the constituency link, if you like, to use the words in Jenkins' mandate, and the issue of the impact on governance. Now, some of those headings are contained in the strength and weakness analysis that we have. I think if we have a section that articulates a set of criteria, and that sets up better our discussion of the strengths and weaknesses because it locates the strengths and weaknesses in terms of the kind of criteria we're applying. It also, I think, helps us when it comes time to saying in Section 4 that you know, having applied these criteria, in our view, there are some systems that hold more interest than other systems to us because they seem to better meet these criteria. That isn't to say that we've closed the door on anything, I don't think, because I think it's very important that we not do so at this stage. Nothing is eliminated, but there are some things that seem more attractive to us than other things in light of the criteria. Some of them are values and some of them are more utilitarian, I think, so they're not all values. So I think if we articulate that before the analysis of the current system, that also helps to set up the kind of thinking that has gone into our conclusions, preliminary conclusions about what is of more or less interest to us in terms of the systems, and would help help to make the report a bit more grounded in some of the discussions that we've had. I think we can spell out some of the implications in more detail, because what we came to learn is that issues of stable and effective governance are not as simple and straightforward as they looked at first blush. Similarly, issues of local representation are not all that straightforward. And it gives us a vehicle through which we can do that.
Thanks, Jack. Rob?
Yes, I just want to say I agree with RB to some degree about that the last sentence of the section he was discussing. The other thing I really want to maybe suggest was if this is going out to the public, some kind of a glossary along with it. I know if I was reading this for the first time without having the background that we've been given here, I wouldn't know a lot about the various types of possible electoral systems, so that might possibly help the public at large. Thanks.
Thanks, Rob. Lil?
I think I'm repeating what Rob said. 6 weeks ago, I knew nothing about these different systems, and now that we've become more informed, we're rattling off labels like STV, MMP, PR lists, etc. Along with listing the values of these systems, do we not need to educate the public on what these systems actually are? Having terms of reference would be one way of doing it. Margaret's statement seems to encompass both of these aspects, and I'm in favor of Margaret, Edith, and Chuck's statement that we must let the public be aware of our terms of reference in order to initiate a dialogue at the public hearings.
Thanks, Phil. Mary?
Thank you, Jack. Actually, I'm going to change the subject. It's near the end of the day. It's close to dinner hour, and we have a birthday in the house, and I just think that it would be appropriate if we all sang happy birthday to Wealth.
Birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear Wealth. Happy birthday to you.
Mary, thank you very much. My hunch is that we needed that little change of pace. But I still have three persons I'm going to recognize, and then we're going to try and sum up, and quickly if we can. John.
I think it's very important to be transparent and honest at the same time. So I think having said that, I think that it should be drafted the way it is.
Jeremy, you're second last. Make it good.
Thank you. Thank you. I think we need to remain as open as possible until we've heard from the people of BC.
Cherie, you may have the last word, except for Ken.
I'd just like to say, when RB said this was a reconstruction process, some alarm bells went off for me. Perhaps even if we don't change the system, it doesn't mean that our work here wasn't successful or useful. Perhaps we won't choose to put a question to a referendum should we change the system, and I think we should be open-minded to that, because it's important that to understand that we might not have to change the system at the end of the day.
Thank you, Cherie. Could I try and suggest where we are, maybe, perhaps, in our report? It's going to be very simple, because I'm quite a simple guy. I think that what we have done over the course of the last six sessions is we have better understood you know, electoral systems, voting systems. But what we understand best of all are the kinds of values that we cherish, the kinds of values that we want reflected in our voting system. And my hunch is that we should have a section four. I agree with Harley. The horse has left the barn or whatever it is. There you are, Harley. That'll go in the record. I agree with you, okay? And we have, I think, enunciated pretty clearly some fundamental values that we have about that our voting system ought to reflect. I think the section four can state those values. My hunch is it could go further. It could say there are some kinds of voting systems that incorporate those values, perhaps more strongly than others, and we could list those. But I forget who raised it, but you know what? Except for ourselves and maybe 2,000 other people out there in the public, nobody understands what STV is even related. It might be a new car or something else, but it's certainly not going to understand that it's a voting system. And therefore, I suggest that Section 4 emphasize the values that we're talking about, and that as we go forward to the public, we are absolutely wide open. These are the values that we think are very important. Certain voting systems, which create more proportionality, whatever, we can describe that briefly, encompass these more than others or whatever, but it need be very brief. I think, Margaret, that's what you were trying to tell us, roughly. And I think we can make a statement like that. It is a big move to actually enunciate some very fundamental values about the voting system is an important move over 6 weeks. And we can say that. We can say that confidently, but our minds are wide open. I couldn't agree more. We are going to the public hearing process. Our minds must be open. The public must trust us on that. And if you agree, the night owls are this guy. And my night owl time ends around 9:30. Ken said, can I come and see you around midnight when it's all over? And I said, no way. There was a conditional word in there, which I won't repeat. Do you think we roughly have it? We'll try it. Come here tomorrow morning at 8:45 because there will be something on your desk. We also had another good suggestion from Craig, by the way, and that was that the preliminary statement ought to say something about how these members were selected. We may add that later, because they should know that we are not political appointments or something like that. And so we will add something of that sort. If I may get another quick announcement in, those who are on the selection committee, by the way, there are binders at the help desk. Would you please pick that up? We're going to have dinner at 6:45. We're going to hear Baxter. This is a very busy day. And if you are here with a friend or like Jerry with his mother, the public can be invited and sit in the public gallery and listen to David Baxter. He's worth listening to. See you at dinner. You've had a great day. Thank you very much.